He knows I'm not very balanced. I'm going to do two Bible readings this morning. So if you'd like to open your Bibles first, it's Proverbs chapter 31, verses 26 to 31. We're just going to read the last five, six verses there from verse 26 onwards, the last six verses of Proverbs. But at the beginning of that chapter, it says, "The sayings of King Lemuel, an oracle his mother taught him." The importance of mothers teaching their children, especially in the Word of God. So Proverbs 31, 26 to 31. "She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. She watches over the affairs of her household, and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children arise and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Honour her for all that her hands have done, and let her works bring her praise at the city gate." And then just across to 2 Timothy. And the opening verses of 2 Timothy, as Paul talks about Timothy's heritage, and mentions his mother and his grandmother and the impact that they had on him. And Paul writes, "Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, according to the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dear son, grace, mercy and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God whom I serve as my forefathers did, with a clear conscience, as day and night I constantly remember you in my prayers. Recalling your tears, I long to see you, so that I may be filled with joy. I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also."
As I look around this morning, I see lots of mums and grandmothers and aunts and women who've been a great influence in the lives of many. And I just want to say that the women I am seeing now are inspirational. And no doubt mothers and women play a vital part in family, in church and our society. And God has used them, and God does use them powerfully. And this morning I want to affirm women today in the ministries that they do, particularly with their families. And this morning we're going to be looking at a passage in Scripture, well, a person in Scripture, more the point, who I think will be an encouragement to us all, and especially the women here this morning. Let's have a look at Timothy's mum. Now, it's worth noting that Timothy's dad, other than being a Greek, seems to play no part in the spiritual welfare of his son. In fact, he's so inconsequential that he does not even get a mention at all in the Bible. And let me say, for many families, that's often the case. The father or the husband is absent in spiritual things. In fact, if you were to take Australian churches, 60% of congregations make up of women, and 40% men. And I'd have to say, women are, in our culture, more open to spiritual things. And women are the ones who I see, particularly if they're doing this on their own, are the ones who bring their kids to church, are the ones who bring their kids to kids' church, the ones who bring them to Blast Zone and teaching their kids and praying with their kids and giving them a foundation in their relationship with God. And I just want to say to the women here who do that, this is fantastic. Keep going, keep going. Timothy's mum, Eunice, might have been a widow. She could have been a single mum, and it was very tough in those days to be a widow or a single mum, but we don't know that. But what we do know about her is that she was a Jewish believer in Jesus Christ. And like today, raising a child is no picnic, especially if you're in a single parent family. Eunice was a wise and spiritually strong mother. Her priorities were learnt at her mother's, Lois's, knee, and she passed this on to her son, Tim. And the world pushes values onto our children. They do. It's either money or possessions or power or pleasure or fame. And so this Mother's Day, why don't we look at some basics of mother's priorities? And so we find this in 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 14. Paul is writing to a young pastor and he's taken this young pastor under his wing to train him. And what are the priorities a mum should have? And priority number one is a saviour. A saviour. We see in 2 Timothy 3. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and become convinced of, because you know those from whom you have learnt it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Eunice led her boy Timothy to know God, to know the Lord Jesus Christ in the course of time. She taught the Scriptures. She taught what the Messiah was like. She taught about Jesus. By the way, she taught from the Old Testament. And she ultimately directed her son to the Lord Jesus Christ as his Saviour. And when a mother prays and teaches Christ to her children, it's every reason to expect that the Lord will cooperate and bringing her child to the Lord. It sounds simple. At one level it is. But it's not easy, and nor is it cheap. So let me tell you a story. Susanna Wesley, the mother of Charles and John Wesley, she is said to have prayed 1 hour every day for her children. She was strict. She was selfishly faithful, or unselfishly faithful. She was so focused on serving the Lord. And she had 6 rules in her bringing up her children to love God. And the first one was to subdue self-will. Now, we all know what a 2-year-old does. At a drop of a hat, they'll cry and throw a tantrum. And the best thing for an adult is not necessarily laugh at them, but not to give in to the willfulness of a child and do what's best for them and work through them calmly what's happening and not play to their self-will. So Susanna Wesley said, subdue self-will in a child. Secondly, teach him to pray as soon as he is able to speak. Thirdly, give him nothing he cries for, and only what is good for him when he asks politely. Fourthly, punish no fault confessed, but let no sin that's been acted upon go unnoticed. And fifthly, reward good behaviour. And finally, strictly observe all the promises you have made to the child. Now, those 6 things actually should sound familiar, maybe not in those words, but it's the way those sort of directions and rules are the way the Lord teaches us and treats us. Knowing the love of a mother close up and personal, the child will learn to know and love their Heavenly Father. Priority number 2. Scripture. Let's have a look at the verse here. 2 Timothy 3:16. We know it well. All scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Eunice taught her son the scriptures, starting at a very young age. In fact, Jewish boys formally started their training at the age of 5. And there's an old adage in educational spheres, give me the child to their 7 and you have the man. You see, early years, those formative years are so vital in shaping children. And although it might be hard to believe, it's important to see the early years we need to invest. And let me tell you only a little bit about me. I was the youngest of 4 kids. I can safely say no one knew what I was like when I was a child. I was a very naughty bully, all right? I was one in the family, Mr. Nobody. You know Mr. Nobody. Always, who did this? Mr. Nobody did it. That was really me. And despite being a naughty boy, my mother taught me right from wrong. She gave me a conscience. She taught me how to do my shoelaces. She sent me to Sunday school. She helped me with my education. Yes, a good and godly mother has incredible influence. And I'm indebted to my mother for the many things that she shaped me many years ago that actually I stand in good stead today. I often hear someone, not someone within the congregation, who might come to me and say, I want my child done or christened. And they say this, as you talk to them, I'll have my child grow up knowing all the facts. I won't take them to Sunday school. I won't read the Bible. I won't pray with them before bed at night. But I'll let them make their own decisions in life. If they want to go to church, I won't stop them. That is a load of rubbish. Fancy thinking that a child can know on its own. You've got to give children direction. Don't believe it when someone says that. You know, parents and grandparents and aunts and uncles, you have an enormous responsibility to bring up your family, to influence your family. And to think that they're going to come and learn about God on their own, you're dreaming. We need to be committed to coming to church on Sunday mornings so that we can hear about God and so that our children can too. It's too hard. Some people say, oh, look, it's too hard to drive them to church or to youth group or to blast zone. I don't have the time and energy. And by the way, I've got the piano lessons and I'm doing a lot of running around this weekend. It's just too much. And then there's the football, and it's important to do football. And, you know, I think I can juggle everything at once. And in fact, they don't have any priority in the spiritual direction of the child. And as the child gets older, you see what happens. The child takes on the very same values as the parents when it comes to their relationship with God. They've modelled what their parents say and do in life. What about this one? My child doesn't want to go to youth group and church on Sundays, and I won't force him. Well, this is a tough one. I know as a parent of 4 children, I've felt powerless at times. I actually still feel powerless at times, but that's a different story with I have adult children. But, friends, if your children are in your home, you are the ones who are responsible to bring up your children in the right way. Sure, they may be sensitive, and we all seem to have a sensitive child in our family. But how can they learn to be a disciple? How can they learn from their Christian peers? How can they learn without us helping them and just because they have a whim that they don't want to connect. Yes, we have to teach young boys and girls, right from wrong, who they are and who God is. And we need to follow through with that. And just because it might be difficult from time to time, it doesn't mean we give up. It doesn't mean we let our children do what they want to do. I don't think Lois and Eunice would have done that with young Timothy. It is said that Susanna Wesley had 19 children. Oof. Yeah, right. But what's more, this mother of Charles and John Wesley took each child aside for 1 hour a week to discuss and teach the principles of their Christian faith. And those two sons, John and Charles, they touched 2 continents for Christ. And the best formula I know for teaching children, to pray for them and bring them to church. Secondly, apply what you learn in church on Sundays and live it throughout the week. Mothers, grandmothers, aunties, no one's going to make you do this. In fact, it's just the opposite today. Our local school, our TVs, our local sporting clubs, these things are great things, excellent things. But let me call a spade a shovel. They will not help your children grow in their relationship with God. And we need to see that. With God removed from public places in our society and our local schools, teaching of secular humanism prevails. And your child will have little chance of growing up to be like Timothy unless you teach him. I know what you're thinking. Now that was 2,000 years ago, and Susanna Wesley seems to be a super mum, and I can't be in that stakes. Well, relax, dear mum. If you put the Lord Jesus Christ as number one priority in your life, if you are reading God's word and praying, if you do that and you simply live out your life in front of your children, you will bring things up in conversation. They will ask you questions. And you will be teaching them. They will learn what you live. A child that sees a mother carry her Bible to church on Sunday and doesn't pick it up from Monday to Saturday knows that Christianity is just delegated to church on Sundays. Let's have a look at our next priority, number 3, that of service. As we learn in Acts 16, Timothy's good reputation had its start in Eunice's reputation. And often the best legacy we can give to our children isn't a load of cash or possessions, but in fact, a good reputation, a good name. Eunice's reputation replicated itself in her son. And Paul, no doubt, taking a chance on this very young man, he could see that Eunice served the Lord and Timothy followed as well. Many faithful servants of God have the same testimony. The great preacher, Campbell Morgan, had 4 sons and all of them were great preachers. At a family reunion, a friend asked one of the sons, "Which Morgan is the greatest preacher?" And with his eyes beaming in delight, the son looked over his father and said, "Why, Mother, of course." You see, Mum was the one who shaped them. And mums have a really vital role in directing kids. Are you prepared to prepare your sons and daughters with scripture, of bringing them to church, of putting into practice what you do in church and at home? Are you leading your child to the Saviour? Are you leading your child in his service for God? Or is he unmotivated, unequipped, and undirected? And is he unprepared to meet the spirit of our age? See, when your child goes to school, they get inundated with a whole pile of things that you don't have control over. There's the pressures of Christlessness in our culture, and his faith will be tested in the Lord Jesus Christ. And society will put up materialism, hedonism, relativism, and rationalization. And so, mums, my word to you is, be a godly woman. Continue to work your priorities. Your priorities of Saviour, Scripture, and service. Mother and father are not honorary titles. In fact, they are working job descriptions. So what sort of faith did Timothy have? Paul says that he had the same sort of faith as his mother and grandmother. And what sort of faith was that? It was real. It was genuine. It was sincere faith. Faith in heart, faith in Saviour, faith in the Bible, and faith in the service of God. Lois and Eunice had taught Timothy well. They had taught him from the scriptures about the coming Messiah. They taught him about Jesus. They taught him about maturity in Christ. And they had done a terrific job. You see, although Timothy was only young, we read in the scriptures, Paul had gained enormous confidence in this young man. You see, Paul had invested in this young man, and maybe he was 26 or even 27, to take over the work that Paul had established in that great city of Ephesus in southern Turkey. You see, that church that Tim pastored was a difficult, eclectic, and it was a very, very large church. And a young man of 27 led that huge church. And God was shaping him from a very young man, shaping him through his mother and grandmother to know the scriptures and to live by them. Mothers and dads, this morning here, I want to say, don't leave the bringing up of your children to the preacher. Don't leave it just to the kids' church leaders. Don't leave it to your Christian teachers at school. Don't leave it to anyone else, because your children are precious. And you have been given the responsibility to bring them up. And when your kids start getting teenagers, you're going to know your influence is going to diminish, and other influences will come in their lives. But take hold of your responsibility. God has called you to bring up your children in the right way. There's an old Spanish proverb that says, an ounce of mother is worth a pound of clergy. You lead them to the Saviour. You teach them the scripture. You prepare them for service. You be a mother or grandmother or auntie on mission. Now, I just want to finish by saying that one of the encouragements which are relevant to all mums, and I'm going to pick up this morning, is, I just want to finish by saying the fourth priority is that of security. Security. We read in Romans, "There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." No condemnation. If you are a mum and you have your faith in Christ today, God has promised you. God has promised you in your standing in Christ that you have nothing to fear. Nothing. So mums here this morning, even though you sometimes feel judged and condemned, you are not condemned for a messy home. You are not condemned for your lack of desire to homeschool your children. You're not condemned for your personal sins and your regrets from the past. You are not condemned by the knowledge of how easy it is to love one child more than the other. You are not condemned for your miscarriages. You are not condemned by your lack of desire to have more kids. You're not condemned by your inability to cook. You're not condemned by being divorced. You're not condemned by your desire to be alone and be away from your kids at least once a day. You're not condemned by your body, which may not be once what it was. You're not condemned by your failures as a mother or grandmother. You're not condemned by your rebellious children. You're not condemned by all the fears and tears which flirt with insanity and put you on the precipice of despair. You're not condemned by not being able to throw the party of the century for your child. You're not condemned for living up to the standards of your mother or mother-in-law. You're not condemned by the stares of those who have no kids when your child erupts in a volcanic screams in the confectionery aisle in Coles. You're not condemned if you're a stay-at-home mum. You're not condemned if you're a mum who works outside of the home every day. Mothers, though you may feel condemned and people put pressure on you, if you are in Christ, you are not condemned. And hold on to that important truth, because it will navigate you. It will navigate you to get strength. It will navigate you in your doubts. It will navigate you to be a better mum and person. You are not condemned, because if you are in Christ, your identity and your righteousness is in Christ. Therefore, ladies, enjoy the love and affection and acceptance of being a daughter of God, perfectly loved with an unwavering love that flows from our Heavenly Father. And let absolutely nothing diminish the security that you have in Christ. Nothing. And so our priorities are our Saviour, Scripture, service, and security. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning as we reflect upon the life and good examples of mums in our lives. We know that they have their faults and shortcomings, and at the same time we thank you for the good example and values they have shown us. We thank you for their love and care to us over the many years, particularly in our formative years. Lord, I pray that you'll bless all the mothers and grandmothers and aunties and women here this morning. Help them to follow you well. Help them to bring up their children and children in their families to love you and in the nurture of the Lord. And Lord, help us as a community and as individuals to appreciate the hard work and commitment our mothers and the mothers here this morning put into their children. And we pray that we might be always supportive and encouraging of them. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.